We're talking with Stephen Procopio, who is the president of the Public Affairs Research Council, and we have an election coming up. And as usual, PAR has provided a guide for voters on what the constitutional amendments mean on the May 16th ballot, and there are five of them. Let's start off with Amendment 1. This sounds like an important amendment if you work for state government, right? Give us an idea what this is all about.
Sure. Right now, civil service is governed by a civil service commission. This would make it so that the legislature could actually remove people from civil service. So it would take them out of the protections that are there for them and allow a lot more flexibility. And then whether you like this or not depends on whether you think civil service is an important protection against corruption or you think there needs to be more like a private business approach.
What are some of the concerns to allowing, it would be the state legislature, you said, right? What are some of the concerns in allowing the state legislature to do something that the Civil Service Commission has done for years?
Well, I think the concerns that it become more political. This is a system that came about because of the old spoil system where people would come into office and they would appoint all their friends and buddies and not necessarily based on the merit of, why they were getting those jobs. And so I think there could be some concerns there as well. Though on the flip side is that people, I think have some legitimate concerns also about whether or not civil service could be reformed and improved. And maybe this is one way of doing that.
I see. Right. Okay. So there's obviously been some frustration with the civil service system, right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
maybe there's civil service workers that shouldn't be working for state government. Is that some of the frustration?
It could be. So the tough part for me, Jeff, is I have to try and be balanced. So I can't necessarily.
I understand. Okay. Let's move on to Amendment 2. I think the question I want to ask here is that a lot of people, people that are in Alexandria, Lake Lafayette, Lake Charles, anywhere else outside of Baton Rouge has got to be wondering, why do I have to vote on whether there should be the creation of the St. George Community School System? So can you kind of answer on why this is being brought to voters across the state?
Yeah, sure. So St. George is a fairly recent new municipality in East Baton Rouge Parish. They want a school system as well. To do that, you need not just a constitutional amendment, you need it also as a vote of the parish. And anytime there's a new school district, the way our constitution is set up, it is a constitutional amendment, and constitutional amendments need the vote of the approval of the state.
In other words, this is a pretty straightforward amendment. Either the school district gets created or it doesn't.
I think on a technical thing, that's absolutely right. It's either you create this school district or not. I think the issues on whether or not you want to probably aren't most interest of people outside of East Baton Rouge. But in East Baton Rouge, there are a lot of people on both sides of this one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one to watch, right? Because this has been something that has been talked about for a long time, trying to create this school system. I mean, this goes back 15, 20, maybe even more than 20 years ago, trying to create this school system.
No, absolutely would be interesting if you're in East Baton Rouge Parish. If you are in Red River Parish, I don't think you really care at all.
You're right about that, Steve. Amendment 3. This one is obviously the one getting a lot of attention. Governor Landry supporting it. We actually just talked to Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell. He opposes it. But give us an idea of what this one does, because they're going to see, the word they're going to see the word teacher pay in the amendment, and it obviously does provide funding for a teacher pay raise, a permanent teacher pay raise, but this one does a lot of different things, right?
Yeah, so this one is one of two that are pretty complicated, but at a high level, once all the mechanisms are done, it would give a pay raise to teachers and one about half as big to support staff. The way they do that, again, at a high level, is by using some funds that exist in the Constitution and taking that money to pay down debt for the teachers' retirement system, and then using that savings, so the fact that the schools don't have to make those payments, those debt payments anymore on their pension system, use that money to pay for the pay raises.
The education trust funds that they want to dissolve, Stephen, do they do anything right now?
Yeah. So they actually, that money tends, it goes to education. You know, the specifics vary by the different types of funds, but usually it goes, you know, both higher education and K-12.
So this would be money, if the amendment is approved, this would be money actually in a sense that schools are losing to pay for various things, right?
Well, so the schools would be losing the money that they're getting from these funds now. However, that would be essentially replaced by money that they would now have for a teacher pay raise. And this gets a little more into the weeds of it, but the money generated by the current funds is less than the money owed by the debt of the pension system. So you actually get a sort of a net increase in how much money there is to spend. Just it has to do with how the money is invested versus how much we are borrowing to pay for pension debt.
Anything?
It's more complicated than that. That's the high level.
Got it. Anything else you want to say about this amendment, Stephen?
That's definitely one. If you want the details, you should probably, you know, check out our website.
That's good. Yeah, for sure. Amendment 4 looks like a one that probably will make a lot of people's brains hurt as well. Give us an idea what this one does.
Okay. At a high level, this is going to give local governments the ability to lower tax on inventory. And inventory is kind of a broad category. It's things you sell in your business. It's also like material and stock that you might use to make things. So it affects grocery stores, pharmacies, you know, car salesmen, as well as refineries. So it affects a large swath. We tend to be one of the few states that charges on inventory tax, and a lot of businesses say it is anti-competitive because taxes have to be paid on your stock, whether or not you're making a profit. On the other side, that this is a local tax that locals get money for. So the locals, you know, if they want to do this, they're going to have to figure out, can they afford it? But the amendment itself only gives locals the option to eliminate or lower the tax on inventory.
Okay. So yeah, only the option, doesn't mean it's mandatory. So I guess the local government would decide whether they want to do this or not.
That's correct.
Amendment 5 is very straightforward, right? But this has been a debate for a while now as far as raising the mandatory retirement age for judges.
That's right. So this would raise the mandatory retirement age from 70 to 75. That's the most straightforward of all the constitutional amendments. I will say it has been on the ballot twice before or in some various forms. So, yeah, this is nothing new.
All right, and so it's pretty straightforward, right, as far as the pros and cons on this one.
Yeah, the pros and cons. Do you think judges ought to be able to serve a little bit more because we want their, you know, their talent and experience, or you think no, we need people in there that are fresh or younger?
Stephen, as always, outstanding job with this, man.